Today with Joseph Prince.
You are married to the one who was raised from the dead after he conquered death, grave, and hell. You are married to the resurrected Jesus Christ. Amen.
Even though Jesus existed before the law, he is in the beginning with God and always was with God. But in terms of appearance to mankind, the law was given first on Mount Sinai. It was 1500 years after that, Jesus Christ came with grace. So law came first, all right? Then Jesus came with grace. In other words, the manifestation to mankind was law first. Now God in his wisdom gave law first, all right? You know why? Because after man tried to keep the law for 1500 years and not a single one of them can keep, okay? Then they are desperate enough to cry out to Jesus for grace. Amen. So the law must be shown because remember what Naomi says? All right, he's only one of our close relatives, right? One of our. Jesus cannot be one of your helpers, one of your redeemers, one of your saviors. He wants to be the only one. Are you here to receive his healing? Amen. His redeeming power. All that is fine, it's good. He wants to do it for you more than you know. But you know what? We are here for him. Let's dive right into the Word of God. We are continuing on the book of Ruth. We ended at this point in Ruth 2 verse 20. Naomi said to her daughter-in-law Ruth, all right, this man, because remember she came back with the blessing from Boaz of an ephah of barley. Ephah is a measurement, a Jewish measurement, all right, that speaks of 10 days supply, an ephah of barley. So she brought all this supply back, all right. The mother-in-law took one look and she says, who is the one that gave you all this goodness and kindness? All right. And she mentioned the name of Boaz. And you know, ladies are amazing. They have this intuition about them. They can tell, this Naomi can tell that Boaz, by the kindness and the generosity he showed Ruth, he's in love with her. And Naomi taught Ruth how to propose to Boaz, because Boaz might be thinking, you know, she's a young girl and, you know, although I'm a bachelor, maybe I'm imposing on her, you know. He can have a lot of thoughts, whatever, he's slow, okay? And she slept at his feet. Okay, it's a public place, so there's nothing untoward. It's a custom of the day to ask someone, you're my close relative, redeem me, all right? As well as marry me. And then, let's follow the story. At midnight, the man was startled and turned himself, and there a woman was lying at his feet. Now, you'll be startled if in the middle of the night you wake up, there's a woman lying down, you know, at the feet down there. Right? So it says, now, notice the word at his feet. Great things happen. Don't forget, Boaz is a picture of our Lord Jesus Christ. Being at Jesus' feet means you make him so big, so high, and yourself so small. It's an act of worship. And you know that every time you read the Gospels, every time someone falls at Jesus' feet, they receive their miracle. They receive his redeeming power. Whether they are unhealthy, they have a disease, their disease will have to go. Amen. So she was in the right place at his feet. So he asked, who are you? I am Ruth, your maidservant. Take your maidservant under your wing, for you are a close relative. You are a near kinsman. Now she says, take me under your wing. Let me show you what's the wing. All right. In the Hebrew Bible, you will find this in the book of Numbers. God says, to have, this is called the talit, the prayer shawl of Jewish people. All right, they cover themselves with this, okay? Now Jesus, this is what the people touch. Jesus' talit has one difference. The Bible says, unto you the son of my righteousness will arise with healing in his wings. They call these wings. All right, healing in his wings. When the Messiah comes, all right, he will have healing in his wings. That's why the Bible says, as many as touch the border of his garment, this is the border, they will heal. Plus that woman who was suffering for 12 years from the issue of blood. The moment she touched, she was healed. So what's this a picture of? This is more important. What's this a picture of? Righteousness. Amen. When you touch his righteousness, not your righteousness, not your works righteousness, but his faith righteousness. Amen. That's the time your bleeding stops. Can I have a good amen? So what happened is that the Jewish man, every Jewish man has this prayer shawl. All right? Now, Boaz obviously has one. He's a single man. He always have this, and he probably sleeps in it. Okay, so when he woke up, Ruth was at his feet. And Ruth says, take your mantle and cover me. You know what it means or not? Marry me. Because when they get married, the Jewish man gives his prayer shawl to his bride. All right? It's a picture of whatever it covers, it redeems as yours. So when she says, take your wings, all right, this one, and cover me, she's actually proposing to him, redeem me. Do the part of a redeemer. Buy the lost property back and marry me. Boaz says to her, blessed are you, of the Lord, my daughter. You have shown more kindness at the end than at the beginning. Look at verse 11. Now, my daughter, do not fear. I'll do for you all that you request. For all the people of my town know that you're a virtuous woman. Amen. From Boaz's lips, that she's a virtuous woman. Verse 12. Now, it's true that I'm a close relative. However, there is a relative closer than I. He says, there's a relative closer than I. We'll look at that afterwards, okay? So in other words, he says, I want to redeem you now, but there's a relative that's closer than I. He must go first, all right? He has to perform it first. Stay this night, and in the morning it shall be that if you perform the duty of a close relative for you, good, let him do it. But if he does not want to perform the duty for you, I'll perform the duty for you as the Lord lives. Lie down until morning. So she lay at his feet until morning. Again, at his feet. Let me tell you this. You know what's Jesus' word to the church today? Rest. Rest at my feet. I will take care of you. Amen. God wants you to rest. Now, the next morning she got up, and the Bible tells us that he told his men, do not let it be known that a woman came to the threshing floor. All right? He protected her dignity. And he said to Ruth, in other words, bring the shawl that is on you and hold it. All right? So she has a veil. Now, when he says to her, bring the shawl that is on you, in those days, when a man asks a woman to unveil herself, that means he's marrying her. He's saying, I accept your proposal. All right? Beautiful, the custom. So he asked her to unveil herself, all right, to bring the veil. She passed the veil to him. When she held it, he measured 6 ephahs of barley and laid it on her. Now, when she was gleaning, she had 1 ephah, which is 10 days' supply. Now she has 6 ephahs, which is what? 60 days supply. Church, there are believers who work in the ministry of the Lord or the field of the Lord. They only get 1 ephah of blessing. Okay? But there are those, instead of going for the ministry of the Lord, they go for the Lord of the ministry. Instead of going for his gifts, they go for the giver. Instead of going for healing, they go for the healer. And you know what they get? They get 6 times more. Hallelujah. I wonder, which are you? Amen. Are you here to receive his healing? Amen. His redeeming power? All that is fine. It's good. He wants to do it for you more than you know. But you know what? We are here for him. Okay, the stage is set. He's going to redeem her. But remember, there's a relative that's closer than he. So that relative must go first. All right? Now, let's go to the story. Praise God. Are you learning? The last chapter now, where we'll finish. All right, chapter 4. Now, Boaz went up to the gate and sat down there. And behold, the close relative of whom Boaz had spoken came by. Remember the close relative? Right? His name is not given here. So he must go first, right? Because he's closer. So Boaz says to him, come aside, friend. Sit down here. So he came and sat down. When he says sit down, the man sat down. Look at verse 2. And he took 10 men of the elders of the city and said, sit down here. So they sat down. Why 10 men? Why 10 men? Because it's a number of the law, the 10 commandments. So the law will witness. The law is about to witness something. Jesus the Redeemer. Jesus bringing grace into our situations. And the law is a witness. You know, Romans chapter 3 tells us, Romans 3, now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. The law and the prophets nodded their heads in agreement at the gift of righteousness that Jesus provided for you and I. Amen. Even the law and the prophets, amen, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. Amen. All right. 10 elders of the city. So he said to them, sit down. Then he said to the close relative, Naomi, who has come back from the country of Moab, sold the piece of land which belonged to our brother Elimelech. Next. And I thought to inform you, saying, buy it back in the presence of the inhabitants and the elders of my people. If you will redeem it, redeem it. So he's going to give him the first choice. He's telling him, all right, redeem the land, the forfeited estate of Naomi. All right, you are the one who has the first go. All right, you are the closer relative. So if you're going to redeem it, redeem it. All right, if not, then tell me that I may know, for there's no one but you to redeem it, and I'm next after you. You know what the guy says? I will redeem it. Now, Boaz says, just a little caveat, he says, on the day you buy the field from the hand of Naomi, you must also buy it from Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of the dead, to perpetuate the name of the dead through his inheritance. In other words, if you, the day you decide to buy the field, you must also marry Ruth. Look at what the guy said. The close relative says, I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I ruin my own inheritance. You redeem my right of redemption for yourself, for I cannot redeem it. The moment Ruth was mentioned, he says, I cannot redeem her. Who is this close relative? He is Mr. Law. That's why the 10 elders are there. And you know why he's a closer relative? Even though Jesus existed before the law, he is in the beginning with God and always was with God. But in terms of appearance to mankind, the law was given first on Mount Sinai. It was 1500 years after that, Jesus Christ came with grace. So law came first, all right? Then Jesus came with grace. In other words, the manifestation to mankind was law first. Now God in his wisdom gave law first, all right? You know why? Because after men tried to keep the law for 1500 years and not a single one of them can keep, okay? Then they are desperate enough to cry out to Jesus for grace. Amen. So the law must be shown because remember what Naomi says? All right, he's only one of our close relatives, right? One of our. Jesus cannot be one of your helpers, one of your redeemers, one of your saviors. He wants to be the only one. So in order for that to happen, he will say, you are trying to save yourself by efforts. You're trying to save yourself by morality. Do your best to keep the law. But remember this, the law says, you don't keep me perfectly, I have no choice but to curse you. The law cannot bend, you know, for you. It cannot bend a bit for you. If it bends a bit, it's no more the law. It's perfect. Amen. Romans 7 tells us this. Do you not know, brethren, I speak to those who know the law, that the law has dominion over a man as long as he lives. For the woman, this woman is you and I. We are always the woman. The one that's love, the object of love and romance and care. We are the one. We guys are so blessed. We get to be the groom and the woman in Jesus' life. Amen. Amen. So the woman who has a husband is bound by the law to her husband as long as he lives. Now the idea here is this husband is a very demanding husband. He's actually Mr. Law, all right? And if the husband dies, she is released from the law of her husband. Isn't it true? All right? If your husband dies, then you are released from the law of your husband. Okay. So then if while her husband lives, she marries another man, she'll be called an adulteress. But if her husband dies, she's free from the law. So she's no adulteress, though she has married another man. Why is the Apostle Paul going through such a lengthy explanation? He's telling us once upon a time, we're all married to Mr. Law. Mr. Law was our husband. And he was a very demanding husband. He wants his coffee hot, but not burning his lips. You know, he wants his eggs just nice, all right? But the yolk cannot be broken, not even a drop. So every morning when you do something wrong, he condemns. Nothing wrong with Mr. Law. He's perfect. That's the problem. Amen. And if Mr. Law cannot help you, you know, Mr. Law cannot say, let me help you, you know, let me help the Moabite. Then it's no more Mr. Law. So we're all married to Mr. Law, you understand? Now then along Jesus came along and he's full of grace. Now he's no less, all right? A man of high moral elevation and moral excellence. Amen. His standards are very high. But whatever he demands, he does it for you. He makes his own hot coffee. He makes his own eggs. It's always perfect. And even makes it for you. In bed. Hallelujah. So the problem is this. The problem is this. You are married to Mr. Law already. How can you be married to grace? Unless you die. If you die, then you can marry another husband. But if you die, how to marry? Right now, you say. So, even in this, Jesus Christ provided a death for the woman that he loved, so that she's dead to miss the law. Next verse, please. Therefore, my brethren, talking to Christians now, you also have become dead to the law, to the body of Christ on that cross, that you should be married to another. To whom? To Jesus, who was raised from the dead. You are married to the one who was raised from the dead after he conquered death, grave, and hell. You are married to the resurrected Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. And what's the result? That we should bear fruit to God. Ruth, for 10 years, when she was with her first husband, Mahlon, whose name means sickness, she never had a child. For 10 years, she never had a child. Mahlon was sick. Now, when she married Boaz, let me tell you this. The Bible says she brought forth Obed, the baby called Obed. All right? Later on, Obed brought forth Jesse. Jesse is the father of David. Hallelujah. I'm getting ahead of myself already. But I'm getting excited. Amen? Church, do you know who is Ruth or not? You and I. So you know who is the nearer kinsman who didn't want to redeem Ruth? Mr. Law. Mr. Law cannot. Mr. Law says, if I marry Ruth, I will ruin my reputation. I will mar my inheritance. I will no more be known as Mr. Law. You know, you understand? Now, if you say, Pastor Prince, what's wrong with the law? Read verse 5. When we were in the flesh. In the flesh is synonymous with being under law. Being in the spirit is synonymous with being under grace. Okay, when we were in the flesh, the sinful passions which were aroused by what? By the law, were at work in our members to bear fruit to death. Now we are married to Jesus, we bear fruit to God. But you try to keep Mr. Law, you bear fruit, you have results, but results to death. That's why you are depressed. That's why you feel lonely. That's why you feel frustrated. That's why there's a blah feeling. All right, every time you don't look to Jesus, you end up in this death realm instead of the life realm. How many, when you worship Jesus just now, you look to Jesus, you felt life was flowing, man. Yes. Hallelujah. There's glory, there's life, there's health, there's wholeness. There's faith that everything's going to be all right. Amen? Let me finish. But now, say now, we have been delivered from what? From the law, having died to what we were held by, so that we should serve in newness of the spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. You keep on reading, he talks about the Ten Commandments. All right, the next few verses say that, I had not known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not lust. So here, the law is not referring to ceremonial law, it's referring to the Ten Commandments in the context. Okay, let's go back to Ruth in closing. How many close are we? Okay. Now, this was the custom in former time. Now, this was a custom in former times in Israel concerning redeeming and exchanging to confirm anything. One man took off his sandal and gave it to the other. And this was a confirmation in Israel. In other words, Mr. Law now, the close relative, he has to remove his sandal and give it to Boaz. Now, this is a custom in those days, which means what? Now you have right. You have his right. You have his... He cannot... In other words, he cannot walk all over your property. The law cannot walk all over the believer today. Amen. Don't let anyone bring back the law in your life. The law has no more right to walk on your property. He has given his shoe to your heavenly Boaz. Amen. His name is?
Jesus.
All right, let's finish. One more time. Verse 8. Therefore, the close relative said to Boaz, buy it for yourself. So he took off his sandal. All right, remember this. Mr. Law has no more right to walk all over your field, walk all over you, to condemn you anymore. Amen. He's got no more shoes, yo. No more shoes. And Boaz said to the elders and all the people, you are witnesses this day. I have bought all that was Elimelech's, all that was Chilion's and Mahlon's from the hand of Naomi. Oh, this is very beautiful. You know what Jesus did? The work of Jesus is shown here. What did he buy? He bought back the kingdom of God. Elimelech means my father, my God is king. All right, my God, Eli, my God is king. Once upon a time, Israel had the kingdom of God preached. But Israel forfeited by rejecting the Messiah. Well, he has bought that back for Israel. He has bought that back for us. Amen. Another thing, he has also bought everything from the hands from all those Chilions and Mahalons. Chilions means wasting away. Mahalon means sickness. Jesus Christ has redeemed you from sickness, from wasting away, from dying, from pining. Hallelujah. Amen. He's bought you out of sickness. Amen. By his stripes, you are healed. You have no right to always be constantly tired. He has bought you out of wasting away. He has bought you out of sickness, the slave market of sickness and disease. And finally, let me finish off. He married Ruth, okay? Married Ruth, and Naomi had a grandson. She never dreamed one day she would hold a baby because her two sons died. And look, drop down. Naomi took the child, Ovet. His name is, you pronounce as Ovet in Hebrew name. Laid him on her bosom and became a nurse to him. And the neighbor women gave him a name saying, there is a son born to Naomi. And they call his name Ovet. He's the father of Jesse, the father of David. Let me close with the last two verses of Ruth. Boaz begot Ovet. Ovet begot Jesse. Jesse begot David. Now there is nothing insignificant in the Bible. Even names carry meanings. Watch. Boaz means in him is strength. Who is this one? Jesus. All right. Ovet, his son, means serf. Jesse means wealth. Now, what is the meaning of David? You all know this. Beloved. Amen. So there is a message here. Watch this. In him is strength to serve wealth to his beloved. All of you. Hallelujah. In him is power, is strength to serve wealth. Now, this wealth is not just money, okay? All right, some people always think of money all the time. Money is part of it, but wealth of his revelation, wealth of his resources, wealth of his wonderful person, amen. The wealth of knowing Jesus, that's the greatest wealth of all. All right, and the Lord, of course, he'll take care of you in terms of your provisions and all that. All that's in the word wealth. In him is power and strength to serve wealth to his people. The same way he did for Ruth. Gave her the bread. In an instant, from a widow to a blessed wife and a happy mother. From nothing to plenty. From lonely to his wonderful company for the rest of her life. This is our Lord Jesus Christ. Don't you love him?
This December, get the Be At Rest, Watch God Do the Rest 3 CD audio series as a thank you for your gift of any amount to the ministry. Call now and you will also receive a bonus 2020 wall calendar.
Walking in the Spirit is resting in Christ. Whatever is born of the Spirit, the Bible says, overcomes the world. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ, who believe they are made righteous by Jesus' blood and not by their performance. That is what it means to walk in the Spirit.
And for a specific gift to the ministry, you will receive an exclusive gift set, which includes Joseph's brand new 4-DVD album, Where is God in the Midst of Your Trouble?
The disciples were all in the boat. Jesus was walking on the storm. Only one of them asked, Lord, if that's you, bid me come. Jesus says, come.
He's the only one that walked on the water.
The rest never walked on the water.
Why? They didn't ask. You have not because you ask not.
Prayer changes things.
Don't miss this limited time offer. Request your copy today at josephprince.org or call us toll free at 877-769-5433.
For centuries, man has tried to get healthier, get stronger, and live his best life by changing what he eats.
What if I told you there was an all-natural, plant-derived oil?
There is a food trend quietly sweeping the country, changing our outlook on what we eat.
But how can we tell truth from trend? In Joseph's latest book, Eat Your Way to Life and Health, you'll discover how the Holy Communion releases the health-giving power of the Lord's finished work into your body every time you partake.
My friend, the world can offer diet plans and nutrition tips, and I'm all for eating well and exercising. But the Holy Communion is so much more than that. It's not just another diet plan. It is the very power of the Lord's finished work released into our bodies every time we partake. Ever since I started preaching strongly on the communion about 20 years ago, people from all over the world have written to me to share their healing testimonies. An elderly man suffering from Alzheimer's disease, with no hope of recovery, was completely healed. The Lord restored his mind through the Holy Communion, and his wife is overjoyed to have him back. Another brother wrote in to share that through the partaking of the communion, his youngest son, who had a 17-degree curve in his spine, was completely healed. Latest x-rays show no trace of the scoliosis he used to have, and his spine is now completely straight. These are just two of the many testimonies that I share in this book, including my own. I want to invite you on this journey. As you partake of the Holy Communion, I pray that you will experience the Lord's healing and restoration more and more. God bless you.
Joseph Prince's brand new book, Eat Your Way to Life and Health, is now available. Call us toll-free at 877-769-5433 or visit josephprince.org/newbook today.
While I was passionate for Christ when I first became a Christian, I was drifting away. And so when I started to hear the word that Joseph Prince was bringing, it just turned me right around and I became a new believer. I became passionate again and bold.
When I heard him tonight, it's like, oh my gosh, the life came to me. When he said, grace is a person and it's Jesus, I was just like, I just came alive.
I'm in peace and I'm such a different person. I'm so happy, I'm so content. And it's like, I'm excited on what's going to happen next in my life.
Wow, this is like a whole new take on Christianity. And I guess in reality, all he was saying was the age-old truth that we've had for 2,000 years. But he just had such a fresh perspective and such a great way of approaching it that, yeah, it really, really was impacting.
Joseph Prince Ministries is a Section 501c3 nonprofit organization, and your gift is tax deductible for the amount that exceeds any fair market value of the materials you receive from us.